מסכת בבא מציעה דף למד ח' נו משנה, המפקיד פירות אצל חברו אפילו הן אבודין לא ייגע בהן. Someone deposits fruit with his friend and he says, hey, can you wash this fruit for me? Even if they are spoiling, the shomer should not touch them, should not sell them. The owner has to know, right, for how long they're going to be there and what their state will be when he gets them back. And they may be somewhat spoiled. Maybe some of them will have to throw out. But whatever, he said, wash this fruit. He didn't say to do anything with it. So just leave it alone. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer mochran bifne betin mipnei shu kemeshiv aveda labealim. Rashbag, however, says that the shomer should sell it in front of Bet Din. In other words, you should get authorization from Bet Din to make sure that he's getting a good price, because that's returning a lost item. If the Shomer will wait till the owner comes back, the Shomer can see that the fruit is right now deteriorating. And by the time he comes back, let's say it was worth $100 when it was deposited. Now, when he comes back, it's going to be worth $80. If he waits longer, it's going to be worth $70, $60. And so by selling it now for a current price, he will be able to return to the original owner a good value. Otherwise, he's going to lose all that value. So the Shomer should look out in the financial interest of the person who deposited with him. Okay, my ta'ama. What is the reasoning for Tanakama that says, just leave it there? It doesn't make sense. I mean, shouldn't Rashbag actually make sense that you should want to protect the financial interests of the owner? So why just let it rot? Rav Kana explains that a person would rather have only one measure of his own produce than nine measures of someone else's produce. A farmer who works for some produce, he grew it, he picked it, he did all the work. And so whatever state it's in, even if it's worth less because it's somewhat deteriorated, he'd rather have his deteriorated fruit rather than have the cash value of the fresh fruit that he'll go and buy someone else's fruit, because his own fruit is better, even if it's worth less because he worked for it. So just leave it like that. And the owner knows what state it's in. He knows how long he went. He knows when he's going to come back. And he just says, just leave it alone. I didn't want you to sell it. V'rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar cheshinan shema asa'an hamafkid teruma umaser al makom acher. Rav Nachman has a different reason that we worry that maybe the owner of the produce may designated this produce that the shomer is watching as teruma or ma'aser for produce in a different place. Maybe the owner has a whole bunch of olives in some other place, and then he deposited some olives with this shomer. And then he wants to eat the large amount of olives that he has in another place, but he has to take to the Mal Maaser. So he says, listen, all the produce that I have gave with that to that shomer, I designate that will be Teruma and Maaser for this produce. And now this produce that he has in the off-site location was Tebel, and now it's Chulin. And the produce that's with the Shomer is now Teruma or Maaser. If the Shomer would sell it, he's selling Teruma and Maaser to someone else who may not be a Kohen and would not be allowed to eat it. And therefore, he has to just leave it there as is, even if it rots. But still, it's Teruma Maaser and cannot be transferred to someone else, because then that someone else will be eating Teruma or Maaser that they're not entitled to. Okay, challenge. Metibe. Hamafkid perot esel chavero hareze lo yigat bahen. Lefichach ba'al habayit ose otan Teruma Maaser al makom acher. Bishlama l'Rav Kahana haynu dekatane lefichach. We have a beraita that says, if someone deposits produce with a shomer, the shomer should not touch them. Therefore, the owner of the produce can designate them as teruma and maaser for off-site produce. In other words, since he knows that produce is going to stay with the shomer is not going to sell it or transfer it to anybody else. He's just going to keep it there so he can use it for as teruma for the off-site. Now, this makes sense according to Rav Kahana. He gave the first explanation that a person always likes his own. Since he always likes his own, even if it's worth less, so he doesn't want the owner, the shomer, to sell it. Since the shomer is not selling it, as a consequence of that law, therefore, he can use it for teruma. So that's fine. The question is on Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my lefichach. What does lefichach mean? It's circular reasoning. Rav Nachman said that The shomer cannot sell it because we worry maybe the original owner will make it terumah. Okay, so that's why you can't sell it. And here is saying the opposite. Because he can't sell it, therefore the owner can make it terumah. Okay, but then, but why can't you sell it in the first place? This baraita wouldn't explain. This is the being able to designate it as terumah is a consequence, not a cause. So which one is it? So we answer, "Mai lefichach hachika amar hashtad amur abanan la nizaben techashinan lefichach balabait ose otan temura o maser al makom acher." So this is what lefichach means. Now that the rabbis said, "Do not sell it," because we worry that maybe the owner will make it terumah. Right, so that's the reason why you shouldn't sell it, because without knowing, he may make it terumah. But once this is the law now, and we're sure that the rabbis made a gezerah and said, listen, don't sell it because maybe he did. Once that is the law, now the owner can do it lecha techila. In other words, beforehand, since we don't know, is the shomer going to sell it or not? So you know what? You better, I don't know what to do. You better not make it terumah because maybe he'll sell it. Right, that would be the original law. But now that the rabbis came along and said, you know what, don't sell it. That's the Tanakama in the Mishnah. Don't sell it because maybe he will make it terumah and you're going to be selling terumah. So therefore, don't sell it, keep it. So now that it's a law, so not only b'di'avad, if you sold it, if you made it terumah, it is terumah. Now, even lechetechila, the owner can make it terumah because the rabbi said, keep it there, even if it deteriorates. And so therefore, lechetechila, you can designate it as terumah for off-site produce. Good. Amar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Machloket Bichede Chesronan Aval Yoter Mekede Chesronan Debra Kol Mochran Bebetin. Rabbi Yochanan says that the machloket between the Tanakama and Rashbag is only if it's deteriorating at a normal rate. But if it's more than a normal rate and it's deteriorating so much, it's just going to be worthless, then everybody agrees that you can sell it in Betin. Even Tanakama would agree with that. All right, so now that we have the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, let's see how it fits with the two Amoraic explanations. Ad Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak vaday peliga. Ad Rav Kahana mi lema peliga? Ki kama Rav Kahana b'chidei chesronan ka'amar. So Rabbi Yochanan works well with Rav Nachman. He said that you should not sell it because it may be designated as terumah. Now, if it is designated as terumah, then you cannot sell it, even if it's going to be worth zero, even if it deteriorates down to nothing. Still, this is terumah, so the shomer cannot sell it to anyone else. So Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. But what about with Rav Kahana, that a person would rather one of his own than nine of someone else's? But now if it goes down to being worth only $1, then that's, so would Rav Kahana disagree with that? And the answer is that Rav Kahana would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that if it deteriorates a lot, then certainly sell it, right? Because the point of Rav Kahana is that a person likes a little bit of his own rather than more of someone else's. And so if it's going to deteriorate a lot, then he would say, you should have sold it. So therefore, the Rav Kahana agrees that you'd sell it if it's deteriorating a lot. We ask about that. But look at Rav Kahana's language. He says a person would rather one of his own than nine of someone else's. That means even if it deteriorates 90%, a person would still rather his own. So that means even a lot of deterioration, just leave it as it is, even more than normal. So what about that language? Doesn't that seem that Rav Kahana would disagree with Rabbi Yochanan? And the answer is Guzma Ba'alma. Rav Kahana was just giving an exaggeration. He didn't mean literally that one person would rather a pound of his own versus 9 pounds of someone else. He was exaggerating. He means a person rathers his own, even if it deteriorates somewhat, and it's not as perfect quality, but it's worth a little less than better quality of someone else's or more of someone else's, right? Maybe even double. He would rather his own rather than double of someone. But he didn't really literally mean nine times. And therefore, Rav Kahana would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that if it's going to really deteriorate a lot, everybody would agree that the shomer should sell it. Metibe. Now we're going to have a couple of challenges against Rabbi Yochanan. Lefichach ba'al habayit oseh otan terumah u'maser al makom acher. This is from the Braita that we quoted above. that says, since, let's look at the Braita one more time. If you give produce to someone else, don't touch it. Now, since you can't touch it, right, this is the opinion of Chachamim in the Mishnah, therefore, the Baal HaBayit, the owner of the produce, can use it and designate it as terumah for produce that he has elsewhere. So now we ask, if that's true, then why don't you worry? Why don't you worry that it deteriorated at a high rate, and therefore the own, as Rabbi Yochanan said, and Rabbi Yochanan said that then you can, then everyone agrees that you can, that the shomer can sell it. So maybe it deteriorated a lot, and the shomer sold it, and now the owner is going to designate as terumah this produce for his pile that is has elsewhere. The problem is, at that time, the shomer had already sold it, and so that produce did not exist. I mean, existed, but it wasn't under his ownership, and therefore could not have separated the terumah with it. And therefore, when he eats from his pile off-site, he's eating tebel. So this is a problem. It seems to be a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. And the answer is, Yotemik dechesronan lashichiyach. Rabbi Yochanan, remember, this is Rabba Bar Bar Chana, said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He says that it doesn't happen often that it deteriorates quickly. So you don't have to worry about that possibility. But then we follow up. All right, maybe it doesn't happen often, but it could happen. And what if it does happen? And you said, Rabbi Yochanan said that the shomer sells the produce. But we should worry, because maybe the owner already designated it as terumah and ma'aser on behalf of a produce that he has elsewhere. And then when he sells his produce, the shomer is selling terumah to an unsuspecting buyer who's now going to be eating terumah, which is prohibited. So the answer is, the shomer, because of that concern, has to sell it only to kohanim, and he has to charge a lower amount. Terumah food sells for less because there are less buyers. And so he'll sell it to the Kohen, telling him, listen, this might be terumah, I'll charge you only terumah prices to worry about that. Now, once we have this answer that you can sell to Kohen for at terumah prices, so why don't we say that also for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak? He said the entire problem in the Mishnah of Tanakama, why you cannot, the shomer cannot sell, is because we worry maybe the owner designated the pikadon as terumah. So why doesn't Rav Nachman solve the problem simply and say, listen, if you see that it's deteriorating, sell it, and sell it only to Kohanim at the price of terumah. And then that way you can save the property value of the owner, and you don't have to worry that you're going to sell terumah to someone that cannot eat it. And the answer is, So actually there is a machloket between Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who spoke in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak about a simple reality question. So Rabba Bar Chana says that a fruit deteriorating at a higher than normal rate is not normal, is not found, is very rare, and really doesn't happen at all. And if it should happen, it only happens from the point that they notice it and onwards. In other words, it doesn't happen right away. The fruit will be good for a few days, and then afterwards you see, oh, it's deteriorating very rapidly. It only happens from that point and on that it starts. So you don't have to worry about it. Certainly, you don't have to worry about it from the beginning. So lekameh means going forward. That's when it deteriorates rapidly. So if the owner decided to make this tudumah ma'aser for produce that's elsewhere, he would have done it right away beforehand, because you want to take tudumah and ma'aser immediately. It's a good idea to take it immediately. That way, nobody will come to eat tebel by mistake. And so he would have, even if it does, first of all, fruit doesn't deteriorate rapidly. Second of all, if it does deteriorate very rapidly, it only happens at a later stage. And so if he made it terumah maaser, he would have done that before it starts deteriorating rapidly. Therefore, when it deteriorates a lot, he should sell it to Kohanim at terumah prices. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan can reconcile his own opinion with the Tanakhama of our Mishnah and the Braita as well. So there's no problem. Ve'rav Nachman bar Yitzchak sabar yatem mikdei chasvan mashkach shechiach. V'chiyavu lehu le'altar hu dehavu lehu. V'yamrat nezabenin hu zimnin dekadim hu mezaben lehu. V'chiyabir lehu ba'al habayit terumah ma'aser makom acher la'yada dezabena beka achil tebalim. But Rav Nachman Misak says that it is likely, it does happen that produce deteriorates very, very quickly. And when it happens, if it happens, it might happen right away. It's a bad batch, and if it's just a deteriorating batch, there's mice in it, there's bacteria in it, whatever it is, it will deteriorate immediately, very quickly. And if we tell the person to sell, the shomer to sell it, could be that sometimes he will sell it before the owner gets a chance to make it terumah and maaser. And if it's already sold, and then the owner tries to make terumah maaser, it won't work, right? Because he doesn't know that it's sold, and then he's going to be eating tebel. And so Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, that's why I explain the Tanakhama in the Mishnah to say, do not sell it at all, ever. No matter what, even if it's deteriorating rapidly and it's all going to get lost, still you cannot sell it because he thinks that this is likely to occur. We now bring another challenge against Rabbi Yochanan from another Braita, Metibe. Hamafkid perot esel chavero v'hirkibu yayin v'chmis shemen v'hibish debash v'hidbish hare ze lo yiga pahen dibrei Rabbi Meir. Hachamim omerim oser lahen takana u'mochran bebet din. U'kishu mochran, mochran acherim ve'no mochran le'asmo. If someone deposited fruit with someone else and they went bad, they rotted. Or he deposited wine and the wine turned into vinegar. Or he deposited oil and the oil went bad. Or honey and the honey spoiled. Generally, bee honey doesn't spoil. This is probably referring to date honey. And it went bad. Nevertheless, the shomer should not touch it according to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir's opinion here is similar to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, except that it's using different examples of things that go bad. Chachamim say that the shomer should do something to help him, and he should sell them in court before they go bad. And when he sells them, he has to sell it to other people and not to himself. Because if he buys it himself, he probably is going to give himself a very good deal, too good, and then the owner will lose out. So you can never trust yourself to be the buyer. Therefore, he should sell it to a third party who will pay market price. And that way, when the owner comes, he'll say, oh, thank you. I'm so glad you sold it. Otherwise, it would have gone bad by the time I came back. The Baraita continues, a charity collector, he's holding on to money that he collected, but there's no poor people right at that moment to give it out to. And he was talking about copper coins, very, very simple coins that will go bad if you just leave them around. They may deteriorate. And so he wants to change them for silver coins that will last longer because he can't use these right away. It's a good problem not to be able to find poor people. So he should save it because otherwise they're going to go down in value. So he should switch it, but he should not switch it for his own coins because then we suspect that he will give himself too good of a deal. So switch it with other people's coins. And lastly, those who collect for the charity plate, that's food for the poor, unlike money for the poor, but they also collect food. And then, so he has all this food ready and there's no poor people to distribute the food to. So don't let it go to waste, sell it. But don't buy it on yourself because then you're going to probably pay something more cheap than it's actually worth to sell to others to get a good price. And then with that money, you can use it in the future when poor people turn up. Okay, so here's what we need from this braita. Katan mihat perot v'hirkibu. My love, afilu yater mekedei chesronan. It says, the first item on the list was fruit that went bad. And it says that you should sell it, right? This was the opinion of Bimeir. Lo yigap ahen, you should not touch it. Now, this seems to be the same as the opinion in our Mishnah. And here, it says, don't touch it, don't do anything at all, even if it totally rots. So doesn't that mean, even if it rots at a higher rate than normal, and therefore, according to the challenge of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, everyone agrees that if it deteriorates at a higher rate than normal, then the Shomer should sell it. But here, it seems like even if it's totally deteriorated. And the answer is, lo, b'chedei chesronan, it's deteriorating only at a normal rate. That's why you leave it alone and don't sell it. But if it was really deteriorating at a high rate, then you would sell it. So Rabbi Yochanan can make his okimta, just like he makes his okimta on our Mishnah, he can make it on this baraita as well. Now we ask, look at the other examples on the list. Wine that goes that turns into vinegar, that means it's totally bad. And also oil that goes bad, or honey that goes bad, right? These are all examples of a high rate of deterioration that's totally not good. And yet it says, leave it alone, don't sell it. And the answer to that is shanehad haneh de kevan de kam kam. These are different because once they spoil, that's it. They're totally spoiled. There's no point in selling the wine after it turned into vinegar. There's no point in selling it now that it turned into vinegar because it'll stay as vinegar. Vinegar is less valuable than wine, but it still has some value. And so it's deteriorating at a normal rate, and now it turned into vinegar. Okay, still leave it for the owner to come, and he'll take his vinegar. He would rather his own vinegar than wine that he could have bought with the higher price. So, in fact, we can say that this Mishnah, this Baraita is talking about kedei chesronan, where it's a normal rate. Okay, fine. That works for vinegar, but here's the question: Shemen ve'bish debash ve'bish lemay chazu. Bad oil, it smells bad, or spoiled honey. What is that good for? It's just you waited till it became totally worthless. Does that make sense? What are you keeping it around for? Why would you say kevan de kam kam? All right, now it stayed here at this point, and it won't get any worse from that. It's basically zero, isn't it? And the answer is no. It has some use. Shemen chazeh le gil da'e debash lechtisha digmale. Bad oil, although you wouldn't eat it, is good for tanners. They coat it with oil, even though it has a bad smell. That's okay. And spoiled honey, you can put on wounds of a camel. And so even though you won't eat it, it still has some value. Hachamim omnim oseh lehen takana u'mochran bebet din. Now the braita in that we just quoted has the other opinion of Chachamim that says that the shomer should sell it in front of bet din. Mai takanta abed lehu amar Rav Asher lekankanim. But we ask, what is he helping? If it already turned bad, so then he's going to sell what? Sell the cheap oil, bad oil, or the cheap that bad vinegar? What can he do with this stuff? So Rav Asher, in other words, it's not going to get any worse. So why not just leave it and let the owner take his oil or vinegar that he'll use, as we just said, and by selling it, you're not saving any value for him. And Rav Asher explains, lekan kanim is for the casks. The casks right now are usable. If you leave the spoiled liquid in it, then the casks, the barrels themselves, will go bad. So I'll sell it. At least you have the value of the casks that are still good now that he can recoup. If you just leave it as is, then he'll come back. He'll just have vinegar, and the casks will be no good. So he can get more value if he sells it now. Now, what is the essence of the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim in that baraita? The more sabad lehefsed merubeh chasheshu, lehefsed mu'at lo chasheshu, or more sabad afil lehefsed mu'at name chasheshu. That Rabbi Meir thinks that the rabbis are worried about a large loss. But a small loss they're not concerned about, and this loss here, a small loss, is only of the casks. And so the barrels is just a small amount. And so now that it already became spoiled, so there's nothing to do about it now. You can't turn it back into wine. And the small amount of loss of the barrels, no, don't worry about that. Just leave it. A person would rather have his own vinegar, even though he can't use the barrels anymore. Whereas the Chachamim, in that case, think that the rabbis are concerned even about a small amount of loss of the barrels. The owner would come back and said, oh, you could have at least sold it as it was, and I could have gotten the not only the value of the vinegar, but also the value of the barrels that were still usable. Now, look, I can't use the barrels, so we are concerned even about that small amount. Now, all the way back to our Mishnah, where Rashbag says that the Shomer, if he sees that it's getting going bad, he should sell it. Because he's like returning a lost item. And he sells in front of the Beit Din to make sure he's getting a good price. Itmar, Rabbi Abab, Rabbi Yaakov, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel. Rabba Amar, Rav Nachman, Halacha, Kedibre Chachamim. So who do we follow? Rabbi Yochanan says, there's Rabbi Abba in the name, for the name of Rabbi Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan says, we follow Rashbag and sell it. Whereas Rava, in the name of Rav Nachman, the Rabbi Yochanan is in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Nachman is in Bavel, says, halacha is like chachamim, that say, leave it as is. V'ha'amara ha-Rabbi Yochanan chadazimna de'amar, Rabba Abar bar chana amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol makom shoshana Rabbanan, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel b'mishnatenu, halacha kemoto, chutz me'arev v'saydan uraya acharona. So why? How come here Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yaakov, has to tell us that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, halacha is like Rashbag? Don't we already know that from a more general rule that Rabba Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that whenever Rashbag has an opinion in the Mishnah, halacha follows him, except for three cases about a guarantor, about a case in Seidan, and about a case of final evidence in a final disagreement. But this is not one of those three cases, and therefore I can know from this rule that halacha would be like Rashbag, and I don't need to be told that halacha is like Rashbag in this particular case. And the answer to that is Amora Eninhu. You're right, there's two different traditions about what Rabbi Yochanan said. According to Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yaakov, according to him, Rabbi Yochanan did not make a blanket statement that halacha is always like Rashbag, except in three cases. According to him, Rabbi Yochanan specified, you know, various cases where halacha is like Rashbag. And so that's why he has to say it, because otherwise we wouldn't know. Whereas, according to Rabba Abba Bar Chana, he thinks that Rabbi Yochanan did make a blanket statement. He says, halacha is always like Rabbi Yochanan. So we're just not sure how Rabbi Yochanan expressed himself. It could be that he expressed himself and said it in various cases, in many, many cases. I don't know how many times it comes up. And then maybe Rabba Abba Bar Chana or a different student summarized it and says, listen, I see a pattern. He always follows Rashbag, except in these three cases. But maybe this was not his original statement, and therefore it's not redundant. There's just two students that transmitted Rabbi Yochanan's teaching in different ways. The result is the same, but one is probably what Rabbi Yochanan actually said, and one is a derivation, an application of the exact wording that he said. Now, midrabban Shimon ben Gamliel nishma de moridin karov le nechse shavui. Midrabbanah nishma de en moridin karov le nechse shavui. Now we're going to relate the above machloket about someone who's watching produce to a different issue of someone who's taken captive and he leaves a farm behind. Unfortunately, we're dealing with this a case right now with many farms abandoned and the owners of the farms as hostages, or people working on the farms who aren't there. Okay, so what do you do if someone is taken captive and now his farm is going to be left empty? That's not good if the farm is left empty. It's not going to produce anything. Hopefully, the guy he'll get out of he'll become free and he'll come home and he'll see that right. No one worked the land. He's going to lose a whole produce of the whole season, maybe more. So what should we do? Should we allow a relative, like an heir, let's say that person's son, to go to the field, or brother, or whatever, to go descend onto the field and manage the property and collect the produce in the meantime. Since he's working, he deserves to collect the produce, and that will be good. It'll keep the land going and keep it good. So, according to Rashbag, who says in our Mishnah that the Shomer, should sell the produce, he should take care of it, and not let it go to waste, it makes sense that he would also say that a relative should go and take care of a field when the owner of the field is taken captive. Whereas, according to Rabbanan, who say, leave it as is, don't touch the produce, the owner would want it in whatever state it's in, he doesn't want anybody selling it or touching it. So it makes sense that Rabbanan would also say that the guy who was taken captive, don't let anybody touch his land, even though the land will go bad, the land will deteriorate in the meantime, but he wouldn't want anybody touching his land. Okay, umimai, but we reject this parallel, not necessarily. Dilmad kan lo kamar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel hacha ela mishum deka kalya karana. Maybe Rashbag says, in the case of produce, that you have to sell it because the entire principle is going to zero. If you wait long enough, the produce will be totally rotten and will be zero. That's why he says in that case that the shomer should sell it. Avalatam hachinami de'en moridin. But in the case of land, it's true. If you leave it fallow, he'll lose on a season. It's not good for the land, but the land is still there. And when he comes back, he'll plant it the next season. It's even good that the land rested for a little. It'll produce more next year. So Rashbag may not agree in that case. And the other way around also. Ad kan la kamre rabanan hacha elaki I kerav kana I kerav nachman ba yischak. Avalatam hachinami de'moridin. And maybe Rabbanan would say, regarding produce, don't touch it. Either because of Rav Kana that says a person likes his own produce, even if it's not worth as much, or like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that we worry that maybe he designated this as tiruma for other produce. So that's why he's concerned, and therefore, leave it alone. You can't sell it. But in the case of land, you don't have to worry about that. And so maybe, really, you should have people. A person in captivity would want someone to work his land. It's still his land, and it's his produce. It's still happy that the land is producing something while he is away, and he'll take over when he gets back. And you don't have to worry about designating as tiruma, it's just the land. You can't designate land as tiruma, so you don't have to worry about that problem either. So these two are not necessarily parallel. Okay, lemema de tere tama ta'ame ninu. So in that right now, where we're standing is, these two halachot are not related. They're dependent on two different reasonings. Ve'amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel ve'amar Shmuel moridin karov nichse shavui la mishum dechad ta'ama hu. Hold on, look, there's two statements of Shmuel, and in the first one he says halacha is like Rashbag, that the Shomer should sell the land. And he also says that if the farmer is taken captive, the relatives should go and take care of it. Isn't that consistent? And Shmuel rules this way in both because they're both based on the same reasoning. And we say, not necessarily. Could just be coincidence that Shmuel happens to agree with Rashbag in the case of the produce and happens to think that a relative should take care of the land. But they're really for two different reasons. And actually, it even makes more sense that is for two different reasons. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha kedibrei chachamim. Amar Rav Nachman, moridin karov nichse shavui. Ela shema'mina, tere ta'amenin hu shema'mina. Because look at two statements of Rav Nachman. On the one hand, he rules like chachamim, that regarding the produce, the shomer should leave it there and not sell it. On the other hand, he also thinks that if a farmer goes into captivity, then a relative should take care of it. So these are not consistent with each other if you think they're based on the same reasoning. Therefore, we can conclude that, in fact, these are two different subjects, issues. They are not related to each other. Itmar, shavui shenishba. Rav amar en moridin karov linchasav. Shmuel amar moridin karov linchasav. Now let's get into this very issue itself. Regarding a farmer that goes into captivity, Rav says, you do not allow a relative to go and take care of the land. And Shmuel says, you do allow a relative to take care of the land. Now let's circumscribe this machloket. Bishishamu bo shemet kule alma la peliga de moridin. If there's a rumor that the farmer died in captivity, we're not sure yet, but that we hear that he has died, then everybody would agree that you can go that a relative can go and take care of the land. The reason is that this relative is the heir. And so if the person, if it's confirmed that the original farmer in fact died in captivity, then the heir will be owning the farm. And therefore, he's sure to take care of the farm and farm it appropriately. The argument between Rav and Shmuel, rather, is when they have not heard a rumor that he died. The farmer went into captivity, but he's likely still alive and will likely come back, hopefully. So Rav says that you cannot allow anyone to manage the farm because if someone goes to manage the farm, he will ruin it. Why would he do that? He's going to over-farm it. He's going to try to get a quick buck and farm it as much as possible, because anything that he farms and harvests before the farmer comes back, he can keep. And since he can keep everything, so, you know, likely he'll get one harvest in, so he'll over-farm it, ruining the land, to take as much as he can for a quick profit. So that's not good. The farmer will be upset about that. Look, now you ruined the land for the next years. So therefore, don't let anybody touch it. Whereas Shmuel thinks that a relative can go down and manage it, because he thinks that the relative who manages it cannot keep anything that grows. Rather, he only gets what a sharecropper would. It's a fixed value that sharecroppers normally take, a certain percentage or a certain amount of what grows. And therefore, it's not going to be to his advantage to make it grow a lot that will devalue the land. He will take care of it like a sharecropper does, that will tend to the land properly. And he's going to get the same payment no matter what. And so, therefore, he will take care of the land well. Metibe Rabbi Eliezer Omer, mi mashma shenemar v'chara api v'harakti etchem, יודה אני שנשותיהם אלמנות ובניהם יתומים. אלא מתם עוד אמר והיו נשכם. We're going to have a challenge now against Shmuel that says that the heirs can go. And it's from this following Braita. The Braita is explaining a pasuk in Shemot that says that if Bnei Yisrael sin, so my anger will be against you. And on that day, and so that's what it says. Now, and I will kill you. So from the beginning of the pasuk, that Hashem will kill them, wouldn't I know the continuation of the pasuk? Would that be obvious? That, therefore, their wives will be widows and their sons will be orphans. If the father dies, husband dies, then that would be a natural consequence. Why do I need that as the rest of the pasuk? I mean, truth is, this is a curse, so it's scarier when you spell it out. Not only will I kill you, but imagine now what's going to happen to your family. Okay, that's the simple reading of the pasuk. But anyway, we're wondering, why is the pasuk have to say so? So why does it have to specify that you will be widows? It teaches that it's not bad enough that the father of the household will die, but that the wives, when they want to go get remarried, they won't be allowed to, because they will be agunot. It won't be a sure thing. There won't be witnesses that the husband died. And so even worse than the husband probably dying is that the wife, there won't be proof, and the wives will be agunot forever. And the children will want to go and manage and take their father's property, and the court won't let them because there is no proof that the father had died, and therefore they have to just leave it until there's proof, and the sons won't be able to then take over the family farm. And so this is a challenge against Shmuel that said the heirs can go down and manage it. Over here it says they cannot. Rava explains that in this Braita, when it says that the heirs will not be able to go down to descend onto the land, it means descend in order to sell it. They won't be able to sell it, but they will be able to manage it. And Shmuel, he answers for Shmuel. No problem, they can manage it. They have to wait. If they want to sell it, then they need confirmation that their father has in fact died. There was a case just like this in the Haradah of someone who was taken captive. And then the question was, can his children go and take care of the land, manage it? Ufeshata, Rav Sheshat, Mehamat Nitan. Rav Sheshat derived from this Baraita, the simple reading of this Baraita, that children will not be able to descend. As if there's no proof that the father died, Children cannot descend onto the land. You have to leave, just leave it empty. So he said he left it empty. He's following the opinion of Rav. Rav Amram said, why are you interpreting it, the Baraita, so literally? Why don't you interpret it the way Rava did, that it, the Baraita is just the curse, is that the children won't be able to go and sell it, but they can work the land. Amar le, Rav Sheshat answers, Dilma bepupadita at demayelin pila bekufa demachta. You must be from Pupadita, where people take an elephant and pass it through the eye of a needle. An expression to mean that you say, express reasonings, arguments that make no sense. You take this giant, this baraita, just like you can't, impossible to take an elephant and squeeze it into a needle. You take a baraita that simply means, no, the children cannot take the land at all. And then you squeeze it and you squeeze an interpretation. You squeeze it through an interpretation that just doesn't fit. And so you must be Pupadita. Pupadita was known for making these far-fetched explanations that don't fit. And so you must be from Pupadita that you would said that you would explain it that way, as Rava did. Okay, so, and here's his proof that it's not so, that the simple reading of the Braita is better. The Pasuk compares the wives being widows and the children being orphans. And just like regarding the wives being widows, it means that they cannot get married at all. They're agunot. There's no, it's not sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. They cannot at all. So too, the children will not be able to descend onto the land at all, not to sell it and also not to work it. And so that's the simple reading, and I'm not going to reinterpret it, and that's why I said that the children cannot inherit it. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.